This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Are we diving just right in? Yeah. Okay, cool. We're diving just right in. See, it's awkward. It's always awkward.
It is always awkward. I mean, sometime we'll figure out. Sometimes, like, a lot of people have, hello and welcome, and this is what we're doing. And they have, like, a thing, like a lead-in thing that they say every time. We have not.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Or had a single conversation about it not being recorded.
Yeah.
So maybe we should have that conversation offline at some point.
Maybe.
You want to go straight for it?
Yes.
Okay. So, the first question, this is the one that I was telling you earlier, like, oh, I had a question when I was in the bathroom that I got out.
Right.
But I did remember it.
Okay.
And this is, so this is not, like, specific to my chart. This is just, like, if somebody is, like, questioning their sexuality, what would you have them check for in their charts? And further into that, like, if someone's like, so I would assume that if someone was in that situation, they'd be like, I want to do a deep dive. I want to know what to check, what to look for. So I thought we could talk. I know that there is a bunch of, like, normal basic chart things that, you know, that people are used to hearing. But I also know that there's a bunch of gay asteroids that, you know, and I know that, like, you looked at mine and you're just like, lesbian, and then you looked at Frenzies and you were like, oh my god, this is a straight person. Weird. Because he's like the only one in our friend group. You know, and then you looked at Michael's and was like, well, this is bisexual. So, like,
yeah,
walk us through all of that and like, what can people be looking for?
Okay. First of all, I want to say that whatever your chart says, however you feel about your sexuality is valid and correct. And don't, like, if your chart says that you're gay and you don't feel gay, then that is valid and accurate, and don't let me or anyone else tell you that you're wrong about your own fucking personality, right?
Yeah, for sure. Just I'm asking specifically about people that are questioning, because they are open to hearing what's going on. Oh, also, really quick, just to note something else. If you are not ready to know about your sexuality, I think it could stare you in the face in your chart and you would not see that until you're ready to see it. So I do think that there's, like, some self-protection that goes on anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Okay. So when I look for sexuality, I look for, so first of all, I look at very specific houses. I look basically at sort of the right side of the chart. I literally just had to think which side is left and right. I always go, like, this is where my heart is beating, so that is left. So this is not where my heart is beating, so that's right.
Oh, okay.
I'm very weird.
I've never heard that one. I've heard people go, like, which one's the L, right? There's not, or that they know what hand they write with, so they'll make the, you know, I've got a pen.
I do that one sometimes too.
I've never heard anybody go, which side is my heart beating on?
I guess I'm very weird. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, that's what we're here for.
So. Yeah. So, okay. So I look at the right side of the chart, not the entire right side, but houses 5 through 8, basically. So 5, 6, 7, and 8. 5, because it is about, amongst other things, casual sex. So whatever happens here is, you know, who do you like having one-night stands with? Or, like, you know, any kind of not super meaningful kind of sex, right? That's fifth house. Sixth house is routine-based sex. So the sex that is everyday kind of thing that is, can be boring, but also can be really nice and stable and, you know, that type of stuff. That's sixth house stuff.
Okay.
And seventh house is romantic sex, is meaningful sex, sex that is about love and connection with someone. Doesn't have to be just one person, but that's the feelings that are associated with that type of sex. And then eighth house is the more taboo sides of sex. So it's kink. It's also to a certain degree sexual trauma. The things that might, you know, affect your sexuality in any kind of way. The darker themes of life, right? So that's the houses I look at.
Okay.
Now, this will be unfortunately somewhat gendered, but it does depend on the gender of the person that owns that chart, because that's how we determine what our sexuality is, right? So if you consider yourself anywhere on the femme spectrum, then I will look for the more femme planets and asteroids in those areas. So to use your chart as a great example, because your chart is super gay, you are non-binary, but femme presenting, femme leaning.
Sure.
So I look for the more femme planets, and you have in your eighth house, you have Vesta and Venus, two very femme planets, right? Mm-hmm. So then if you look for asteroids, a very obvious choice would be Sappho. So looking where Sappho is. So she's in your seventh, right?
She's in my seventh, yeah.
Right. So
she's super close conjunct my sun and my part of fortune. So I guess I am like lucky with the lesbians as well.
you're a happy lucky lesbian. Yeah. And then basically all of the main asteroids that most people use. So Vesta, Juno, looking for these for femme presenting people. If these are in any of these four houses, then that's a hint that you lean somewhat gay. Yeah. Obviously, depending on which house it is in, that is saying something about the more detailed parts of your sexuality. So with you having Vesta and Venus in your eighth house, that is a very kinky sexuality. That is a very, like, that is a more dark femme kind of energy. You are interested in powerful women, and power dynamics in general are interesting for you in relationships and romantic relationships. And then with Sappho in your seventh, you get hard eyes when you see a femme presenting people, obviously. And like, if it and anything that would be in, like, let's say you only have like Venus in your fifth house, then that could mean that you are interested in casual sex with femme presenting people, but maybe not in having romantic relationships with them. It's just about a physical sexual attraction, maybe, you know?
Okay.
And then I do the same thing, but switched with more male presenting people. If you consider yourself more on the male side of the spectrum, of the gender spectrum, then I look at the same houses, but I look at the more male presenting planets. So that is Saturn. Saturn has, you know, a lot of daddy energy.
Yeah.
I look for Pluto. Pluto is somewhat definitely male leaning, but not as male as Saturn. You know, Saturn is like the hyper mask daddy end of the spectrum. And like, and then we layer it. So the more placements you have like that, the more, the gayer you become. Okay. And for some, for example, like a friend of yours, it is more mixed. So if you are male presenting and you have some more male-leaning placements in these four houses, but also some femme-presenting, that could mean you're bisexual.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
So, most of the planets are male, right? So, like, so I was thinking, like, who I have where, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I don't think that I really have any men in that side of things, but like, so you're talking about like Saturn and Pluto, and that's cool, but also Mercury and Mars and like Neptune, like all of them really, except for Venus, are male.
Sure. I mean,
Mercury is kind of non-binary, but
I was gonna say, but then like when you think of Mercury, for example, like if you think of the mythology to do with Mercury is, especially nowadays, definitely considered queer if not
right, Mercury's in my
non-binary. Sorry?
I think Mercury's in my sixth because it's in Pisces.
Yeah. So Mercury is definitely like at least a queer. Right. So with Mercury, if you have Mercury in any of these four houses, mm-hmm. Then no matter what your gender is, you're probably at least a little bit queer leaning.
Right.
So because Mercury itself is just so queer and gender bending.
Right.
And then,
okay, you know, but like Uranus and Mars and Neptune sure. are also,
yes. Maybe
you didn't count those in the, so why four?
Well, so what do you mean I didn't count them
so
in your
when
chart,
you're,
you mean?
No, I just mean that, so when you were like, the planets, the masculine planets I look for mm-hmm. are specifically, you were like Saturn and Pluto.
But yeah, like I mean, okay,
other
so
ones also all male.
Yeah, so they were just an example. Oh, just, so yeah, yes, I do look at all the male placements, but they right. are all on a spectrum. So
right,
okay. Like so, Saturn is the hyper male, daddy type of male energy. Mars okay. is the like super active, sportsy, sometimes violent, toxic,
right.
male energy.
Yeah.
And then we have Pluto, who's like, yeah, still male, but also like a little bit femme sometimes. And right. then we have Uranus, who's almost as queer as Mercury, who is super queer. Okay. And like, you know, and then depending on right. where you have them in your, in if you have them at all in your, in yeah. one of these four houses, then it, you know, it paints a picture. And then on top of that, we layer it again with the aspects that these make. So, if Mercury is in a harmonious aspect, so let's say a trine with Sappho in a femme-presenting person.
Sure.
Then, you know, that screams queer. Because Mercury, I don't know. It was just like, it was just an example that popped into my head, right? So if you have, you do have Sappho in your seventh house. Yeah. I don't know what aspects she makes off of the top of my head, but let's say she would make a trine with Mercury.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's gay sure. romance in your seventh. And then also it's like the queer thinking with Mercury and the queer, the queer communication, the queer language you speak, with Mercury. And so, you know, or like if they form a harsh, aspect, if they form like an opposition, then it's clear that there's some conflict here and there that might mean that there's conflict about, you know, you accepting your sexuality or the world accepting your sexuality or anything like that.
Okay.
Does that okay. explain it in a way that it you
does.
Understand?
Okay. Yeah, no, it does. I just thought like that would be like a really helpful thing. Yeah. I remember when you were like looking at a bunch of, so like way back in the beginning of your, mm-hmm. astrological study. Mm-hmm. You were like, okay, I'm gonna look at sexuality in these people's charts that have given me permission to do so, and like blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And like the people living in my flat were just really funny because you're just like, oh well, I could write textbooks based on all of you.
Yeah.
So, but I remember one of the asteroids that you were looking at that time mm-hmm. was Iris.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Goddess of rainbows.
Goddess of rainbows. But one of the things that's really funny about her is she's also when you were doing that and you were like, right. So she's in all, I can't remember what they were, but she's like trying my Venus Vesta, or she's like just doing a bunch of really gay stuff. And I can't remember where she was, but she was uh-huh. doing gay stuff wherever she was doing. Uh-huh. And I was like, right. But she's just gay. So isn't she going to be gay in everybody's chart because she's just gay? And you were like, no, because you pulled up Frenzies and she was like square everything. She was like
yeah.
blocked or opposed or square everything, yeah. which was funny. Although that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is, so then I looked her up to like know more about her. So when you were talking about her, I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about her. Didn't know that there was like a goddess of rainbows or whatever. So mm-hmm. I should look up more about her. And I found out she's also like a mediumship one. Because mm-hmm. it was like sending messages back and forth from the dead or something. I can't remember exactly what it was now, because this was like years ago.
Yeah.
But I was like, she's a gay mediumship. Mm-hmm. That's really hyper specific.
Yep. Yep. Oh. But like, she, like, that also, like, even in a straight person's chart, that still tells you something about sexuality in that person's life, right? Because, like, if you have, like you said, for example, if you have that in your chart and it's squaring everything, then that is just, okay, yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, you will never be gay. Because right. She's just being noped out by everything else.
Yeah.
Or let's say she was in a person's 12th house, and the 12th house is the place where we hide things from the world, but also from ourselves.
Sure.
So that could mean that, you know, you might be gay, but you have a really hard time accepting that about yourself.
Yeah. I think she's like in a 5th house or something. I think so. Doing something funny.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Also, again, this is one of those things that we're only now really starting to look for in people's charts. So there isn't lots of study or evidence about this.
Yeah.
And those few, unfortunately, astrologers who do look for these things in people's charts
mm-hmm.
have, like, everyone has their own little method on how to do that. I'm sure there's going to be astrologers who disagree with me and who do it completely differently.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, because there isn't a lot of study about it and we don't really have the evidence yet, then we all have to kind of figure it out on our own, because there's also not really any books about it. You can't really read up on it. I didn't. I figured it out by looking at lots of gay people's charts and figuring out what the differences are and what the similarities are. And yeah. So
hello, all my friends that are queer, which is also a neat circle of all my friends.
Yes.
That's handy. Okay, so just one more thing about Iris. So, like, those are obviously, like, two, like, you know, lots of mediums aren't gay, right? So, like, sure. Alyssa's a medium and she's not gay, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. How do you, like, look at an... I mean, so obviously, like, you would take your client's word for whatever their sexuality is. I don't mean that. Yeah. So if we're looking at a fictional character, say, right? So then you can, like, then it suggests, like, the...
And I can say whatever the fuck I want. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you don't have somebody there going, like, my sexuality feels like this to, like, live with or whatever.
Yeah.
How would you look at something like an asteroid like Iris that has these two really different things and be like, oh, well, in this chart, it's obviously talking about gay stuff, or in this chart, it's obviously talking about mediumship, or, like, how would you, you know, or because other asteroids would also have, like, you know.
Sure.
This and this, because there's duality of the stories of the mythology sure. that it comes from and all of that.
Yeah.
So how do you...
So it's... That is always easier with an actual client, because I can just have a conversation and just go, like, so this asteroid represents this and this. And then usually a client would go, like, oh, either I am gay, or I suspect that I might be, or I don't. Yeah. But, you know, or I am interested in mediumship. I am a medium, or I'm not, you know, and then I can just go from there. With a fictional character, I would have to look deeper at, like, what, you know, other placements are saying in the chart. Also, what sign that asteroid is in, because there's definitely gayer signs than others. If you have Iris... If you have Iris in Capricorn, then I probably won't suspect you're gay. because Capricorn is pretty straight, you know? Yeah. But if you have Iris in Aquarius or in Sagittarius, then I would, like, that would pique my gaydar and go, like, that smells gay.
Okay.
And then, you know, what kind of aspects does this asteroid make? So if it's in a harmonious aspect with fucking Pluto, then that screams mediumship.
Right.
If it's in a harmonious aspect with Black Moon Lilith, that screams gay.
I mean, also there's, like, loads of other gay asteroids and there's loads of other mediumship related asteroids. So I guess you could exactly. just go, also, I'm going to look out these 10 other asteroids and see like where they are.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why, you know, it's always fun to add information to get more information because yes, a lot of the main planets already represent the themes that are in a lot of the asteroids. That is absolutely true. But also, it's always nice to have more information because the more information you have, the more nuance you can have and the more detailed information you can give on this one single subject.
Also, sometimes it feels like the asteroids are just trolling you anyways because you'll be like, well, you know, okay, so like the time that I was like super crashing out and I was like, I found 35 asteroids that have to do with money. And let's like look them up. And they were all like, well, we're just all terribly placed except for like one. And it's like a lesser thing, you know? But that kind of happens over and over again, because anytime we look up like any kind of like death deity that has, you know, or tragedy or like whatever, like anytime it's like anything that has to do with like super, just a shitload of death over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, so this is like front and center in the first house, or it's like, or it's in the house of death, or it's like, maybe it's a resource, or my personal favorite is there's also a bunch of them in my life purpose.
Yes.
Stuff. So like none of them are like, you know, I mean, I don't know where normal people have like death, but it's just funny that it, like, they just all tend to agree with each other.
Yeah.
And that's quite...
And it's validating, I feel like, because sure, we start out looking at the main planets and, you know, it's interesting if you have Pluto in your first house, but because they're the main planets, they represent so many things.
Yeah.
Like Pluto is not just about death. It is also about transformation, about starting anew, about power and tyranny and these types of things. Right. So it's like, okay, so yes, you could, you know, interpret that as death being an important part in your life in some shape or form. Yeah. Okay. But then you add some asteroids on top of that and they just keep talking about that. They keep talking about death being an important part of your life, death being a resource for you, death being a life purpose for you. And it just validates the stuff that Pluto says and also throws a focus on what these main planets represent because they don't necessarily represent all the things for every single person.
Well, I think all of the, I mean, okay, this is going to be a little bit of a guess, but I would think that one of the reasons that people that are like, you know, no matter what you say or do, I'm never going to like believe that anything in astrology might be true, which... whatever. I'm not ever trying to like convince anybody of anything. I don't care what anybody
you do you. I did not believe in astrology until like 6-7 years ago. So it's like
right. Samesies. So I am not bothered a fucking tick when somebody is just like, bullshit, I don't believe that. I'm like, cool. No. But I do think that one of the reasons for that is A, because it's really complicated. And so it's like, so it's so complicated that if you don't understand it, it's easy to be like, yeah, bullshit. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But also because if you're like, well, there's just this small handful of planets and they all mean 1,000 things. That's an exaggeration, but you know, they all mean a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
So of course you can like see what you want to see in that because you can just pick and choose what you want to see in it and like forget the rest or whatever. But it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, it is.
So.
And the funny thing is that skeptics that have studied astrology to debunk it tend to then end up believing in astrology because they've learned a lot. They've learned enough about it to figure out that it does work. And then they are mad about it.
I keep seeing that because I keep looking for real studies that like disprove astrology. Because there's lots of them that say that. But when you look, like they don't know what they're talking about. So they have a stupid premise to their thing. But I'm always kind of looking because I would be just as interested in saying like a valid study that disproves something. Like that would be just as exciting to me as something that proves it. So like, I kind of like keep an eye out for that. But what I do see over and over again is that was like, I set out to learn about astrology so that I could disprove it. And now I'm an astrologer.
Yeah.
What I do.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I sort of did that. I mean, I was already in the woo when I started studying astrology, but I was definitely still had a lot of skepticism too.
Sure.
And then it was like, okay, I want to figure out how this actually works and see if it does work.
Yeah.
Turns out it does. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Oopsie.
I mean, I did a similar thing with mediumship. Like, I wasn't really disprove it, but I was just going like, right, I'm never going to believe you guys unless I figure out if I can learn it. Yeah. And if I can't learn it, then I don't really believe you did either. Yeah. Which is, I guess, kind of arrogant, but like, I was just, you know, I don't know.
No, but I mean, how can you know if someone is making shit up if you don't try it yourself?
Yeah. So I just kind of went in and was like, we'll see. So anyway.
Oh, well.
That's cool.
Do you have a second question?
I do have a second question.
Awesome.
So I think about that same time, maybe after. Yeah, maybe actually not the same time at all. Maybe it was like a year later from when you were doing all of those. You went through a phase where you, I shouldn't have said phase. It's such a phase, Mom. Yeah. You went through a period of time where you had like written down, like you had a collection of asteroids that were many in many different topics.
Mm-hmm.
And you were doing like deep dive readings for people to like find their life purpose. So you were just kind of like seeing how many of these asteroids were, I think the way that it worked. So my question is, how do you do that? And I think that what you were doing at that time, which may or may not have changed because it was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you were mostly looking to see like how many of them, if any, were coming up in the 10th house and
mostly. Yeah.
Okay. Can you expand upon, so if someone was like crashing out about like, I don't understand my life purpose and I want to do a deep dive of that, like how would you suggest somebody do that?
Okay. So, again, we start out with the regular main planets and we look at, so two things. So if you want to look at what am I supposed to do career-wise, sure. So what's my work, what's my job, then we look at the 6th and the 10th, because the 6th house is your everyday 9-to-5 kind of job that you do.
Yeah.
And your 10th house is your career, your life's purpose, your goals, your reputation. Now, if you want to know what your life's purpose is and create a job out of that, then we leave the 6th house out of it and we just look at the 10th, right? So that's the nuance there. So you have to be clear about what kind of question am I asking? Am I asking what would be a good job for me to do? Mm-hmm. Or am I asking what is my life's purpose? Because like those can be those can be similar, obviously.
Yeah,
they don't have to be, though. You can work a 9-to-5 that just earns you money so that you can fulfill your life's purpose, but that doesn't have anything to do with your life's purpose, right?
Right.
So that is important to, you know, keep in mind. Yeah, and then for your life's purpose, I look at, okay, what's going on in your 10th house? What's going on with your MC? What sign is it in? The sign already says quite a bit. I mean, there's literal jobs that are connected to every single sign, right? So,
oh, okay.
For example, Aries is very typically related to anything to do with the army, the navy, police work.
Oh, sure.
Basically, authoritative people in uniform. That's an Aries thing, right?
Right.
Then Sagittarius definitely represents teachers, university professors. Anything to do with like higher learning, but also like studying foreign cultures, an archaeologist, anything like that, right? Okay. So, you know, that already tells you something. It tells you like a general vibe of where your purpose is in life, right?
And
by the way, you can look those up. Those are very easily available if you just Google the sign and career or job.
Yeah, yeah.
Correspondence or something like that. It will spit out a bunch of stuff. Yeah, and then we look at, are there planets in there? If so, what kind of planets? So if you have Saturn in your 10th house, that is very leadership energy. That is also very strict energy, very... you don't really want to be very artsy or explore a lot. You want to have a very strict routine, a very strict way of how to do things in your life, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you have Mercury there, your life's purpose has something to do with communication in some shape or form, right? So again, this just narrows things down. So if you have Mercury in your 10th house in Sagittarius, then that means, yeah, you would make a good teacher or professor, anyone who communicates with other people and teaches them things.
Yeah.
Anything okay. like that. Okay, awesome. And then we can narrow that down by looking at specific asteroids. So I have my tablet here, so I might even be able to show you, or at least read it to you. I have my handy dandy digital grimoire that has all the information about all the woo-woo shit I know about. Right. And so, yeah, I have pages with asteroids for a specific theme. So I have the nine muses for artists. So if your 10th house gives off like a sort of artsy vibe, okay, let's look at the muses. Let's look at where they are in your chart. Obviously, if one of them is also placed in the 10th house, then that says a lot. Then maybe you should do that type of art, or at least create, like somehow have it involved in the things you do for your life's purpose, right?
Yeah.
Then I have like asteroids for fortune. So where are you lucky, and in what way, and where lies the pot of gold in your chart? What kind of abilities do you have that are very easy for you to access? And again, if that is in your 10th house, then, or forms an aspect to anything in your 10th house, then that says something about your life's purpose too.
Yeah.
There's asteroids about sexuality that we've just talked about, also about nature. So if you are interested in, you know, working in nature, working with nature, there's stuff about witchery. So, you know, yeah. Yeah, and then we can narrow it down and figure out, like, depending on what's going on in your 10th house, then again, the aspects that 10th house has to other areas of life, so to other houses, to other planets, we can just narrow it down more and more and more until we basically hit the jackpot. And then at some point, I will say something to you.
Yeah, that will click.
A type of, like, a word, a single word, like a type of career or an area within that career, and yeah, something in your head will go, that's it.
Yeah. So, okay. two things. So, one, when you were, so I know that some of those that you were doing at that time, which obviously, like, this is different than what you're doing now, but some of what you were doing at that time were with people that you didn't know. Like, one of our friends had you do one for her partner, mm-hmm, right? So with that, were you just like adding that list of outgoing, okay, I'm adding everything with the, you know, the nature ones here, NLC, and then take that out and put the list of the next category? And then were you just like putting them all in, seeing what talked, and then...
Sort of, yes. So... Again, I go from what's the vibe of the chart in general without the asteroids? Yeah. What is this giving me? And there's usually like two or three sort of directions it could go in, because also we all have not just this one single life's purpose.
Oh,
right. For sure. We have several things where we can grow and paths that we can, you know, turn to and leave others behind and blah, blah, blah. So it's not just this one single thing. So I look at the chart, I figure out what vibe does this give me. For this person, the vibe was very, and I don't remember what it was that gave that to me, but I do remember me being very clear on, this is someone who needs to work with the earth, with like I believe that he had heavy earth placements and it was all very, you know. Yeah.
So then I
go like, okay, so that, let me look at what these asteroids are doing. And it became very clear very quickly that, you know, that was a thing.
So I think,
and it turned out to be right.
It turned out to be maybe.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that's interesting because the friend that asked is a very young friend, a much younger friend than us. And so her partner is also much younger than us. Mm-hmm. I remember that as more of her being like, oh, that's confusing. I'm not sure. And the conversation and going like, yeah, I mean, they like that sort of thing, but I don't know like that that's going to be, but I remember having the feeling of going like, right, but you're barely a person yet. Right.
Yeah.
Because you're too young. Like, you know what I mean? Like, which is not to say that like younger people don't have problems or whatever. Like,
no, of course not. But like
fully you formed person, but you don't like what we're doing changes. And like,
yeah,
some stuff that's going to come up in your chart is like not going to be activated yet.
Yeah. Until later. Yeah.
So anyways, there's like a mediumship, like in that specific thing, there was also like a mediumship aspect because there was somebody in his family that was like turning up and saying stuff to you, but.
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't even remember that.
So
yeah,
I don't know why I remember that much about that particular thing, because usually I'm just I have forgotten everything about that.
I mean, that was, for me, it was significant because it was sort of the first time, or at least it was the first time I did it for a stranger. Like that was a person that I had never met, to this day have never met in my entire life. I now know more about them just because, you know, that friend, that's a partner of a friend who obviously talks to me sometimes about that person. So,
yeah.
But you know, still have never met him. And that was the first time I did that. And it did get that reaction of like, first the like doubt and the confusion and the I wonder why, and then at the end it turned out to be, oh, actually that makes so much sense. So
sure.
So it was very validating because like I did not know him. I pulled all of it out of my ass. And it turned out to still be accurate.
Sure. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. But my other part of
that
question is, I mean, it's not like a whole other part, but like, I feel like I can't remember if I'm remembering this right, but what if you have no planets in the 10th house?
Okay. So in general, having no planets in any house of your birth chart does not mean, so people get confused about that because they think it means that that's an area of life that is just, that doesn't exist for them.
Right.
And like, that's not like, you have all the areas, everybody has everything. We all have all the signs within us and our life and our personality. We have all the planets and all the asteroids. They all have an effect. When we look at a birth chart, we just figure out like how all of these aspects talk to each other and how much of an influence they have in our life and where exactly that influence is most prominent in our life. So if we have no placements whatsoever in the 10th house, it doesn't mean you don't have a life's purpose or you don't have a career chance or you don't have like a reputation. You do. And obviously, like you will still, that house will still be in a certain sign. So it's there's still like nuance to the kind of energy that that area of your life has.
Yeah.
Not having any planets in there just means that it is either very boring, kind of like not non-existent, but just uneventful area of life.
Yeah.
So if it's the 10th house, then career and life's purpose will either not be that important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can also mean that it is just a very easy part of your life. Not being a planet or an asteroid in there, it just means that it doesn't really get colored by that planet's energy. It just can be whatever it wants to be, whatever the sign it wants to be in. And it can be a super flowy. It can be very, no planets in there also means no aspects. That also means no conflict.
No conflict, right. So I can't totally remember off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure I have no planets in my 10th house. That might not be totally true. I have like a Cancer. Yeah, you can check. I know that it's like Cancer Midhaven situation.
I'm going to check.
I might have planets all the way to the end of it. I can't totally remember. They're not in Cancer anyway.
Oh, you have Juno in your 10th house?
Well, I know that I have a bunch of asteroids because there's like, we've looked up, you know, tons and tons of asteroids for me. And there's been like, I mean, I think Hecate is in there. I think Hypnos is in there, you know.
That sounds right. Yeah. So you do not have a main planet in there. That is correct.
Right.
It's mostly in Cancer with a little bit of Leo. So yeah, but that just gives me, okay, mostly Cancer with a little bit of Leo. So your life's purpose is probably either easy for you to achieve or not that important to you to achieve. Right. You
do,
which in some way is true because 10th house also represents your reputation and you do not give a shit about your reputation.
I don't care about that. Well, so, okay. I care about how I think about me.
Yeah. But that's not 10th house.
I don't care about anybody else thinks
that. That's not 10th house. 10th house is definitely how the world sees you.
Oh, yeah. I don't care about that.
That's not my business. That is how everyone sees you. That is how you will be remembered after you die.
Okay.
That is 10th house. Stuff.
That just has always felt like none of my business.
Yeah. So,
right.
That's how, you know, that can be represented in a chart, that it's just not empty or almost empty, or it's just asteroids. It's no main planets.
Yeah.
You know,
and I also definitely don't have like, so I do think that also capitalism is really divorced from my life purpose because like, just meaning that that's like not, it's not like a career money making. I mean, I'm disabled and don't work and whatever. So like, that's not to mean that I don't do important things or work on important projects. It just means that like, I'm doing them in my own time. And
the career part is not that important. You're not doing those things to like advance in some kind of social ladder type of thing. And you want to take over the company at some point in your life. Like, that's not important to you. That doesn't matter.
I do them all for personal development or curiosity. Like, that's why I do everything. That's why I do almost everything I do.
And it's probably fairly easy for you to figure out what that is, what you want to do with that, where you want to do that, like personal growth and which ultimately will affect how you will be remembered. But you know, you just don't care about that part.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's relatively easy. It's very, compared to other people, certainly, I feel like.
So I just follow the curiosity with that, but that doesn't really seem like a super cancery thing.
Oh, it is though.
Oh, okay. Maybe
it is though.
I don't know that much about that.
So cancer is definitely a sign that will do things because they want them to do. They want to do them. They feel nice. It's a gut feeling of like, Cancer is very intuitive. Cancer is very connected to its own subconscious and like the whole.
Okay.
You know, I do the things I do because it feels right to do them.
Okay, maybe I'm just super
very cancer. Like, cancer thing.
Cancer
to do.
Stuff is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But then also that little bit of Leo in there, that's the part where you go like, but I don't care about what other people think about that.
Yeah, but Leo cares about what other people think, do they not?
Well, Leo wants to be a leader and Leo wants to be admired.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So
but like not but like not necessarily because they care what other people think.
Okay.
It's more like a words. So they are not dependent. That is a good way to say that. They are not dependent on other people's admiration. They like the admiration.
Okay.
But like, but they don't need it to do the things that they want to do. They will do okay. that anyway. If they get admiration on top of that, that's great. But they don't yeah. need it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Like the important Leo part is I want to be first. I want to be on top. I want to be like doing my own thing the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to be the center of attention, but like not because I need the attention, but because I'm doing the thing I want to be doing.
Okay. Fair enough.
So
I do think that like, so this is one of the things that I really like about asteroids and the nuances of asteroids, because like if you have something where you're like, I don't have any houses here, and you have houses, you're like, I don't have any planets here, so where am I going to get the nuance from? And if you just look long enough, you're going to find
mm-hmm.
asteroids in everywhere.
Yeah,
because there's like over 25,000 of them. So yeah. not all mm-hmm. of them have like mythology based names,
sure.
But there's just so many that like yeah. you're gonna find something. So
yeah. And if you are at all interested in mythology, then you can read books on, you know, general subjects that you're interested in maybe making a career out of and how they get told within mythology. And bam, there you have a deity or, you know, some kind of figure that you can look up if they have an asteroid. And if
yeah.
they do, where that is in your chart, bam, that tells you stuff about that type of thing in your life and in your personality.
Totally.
So, and also you can always go ask an astrologer.
Yeah. I mean, if your best friend is not an astrologer already, you can just hire one. Yep. Like that's
yeah,
totally doable thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We exist. We okay. do like getting paid.
Also, if you're just polite, you can sometimes just ask.
Yeah.
People as well. Like
that too.
I mean, I'm not trying to give away free labor from you or anything, but like, I'm just saying, like, there's so many people that are, like, in, like, not even necessarily you, but there's just so, like, you can't learn astrology without looking at a shitload of different charts. So if you are polite and keep your eyes open, you're probably gonna, like, trip over an astrologer that's at the beginning of their journey, that if yeah. you ask them questions, they'll just look stuff up for you.
Yeah.
So.
That's how I learned. I literally only learned this as quickly as I did because I had a certain friend
yeah, who's really gonna ask
who just kept bombarding me with, here's another question, can you okay. look this up for me?
To be fair, I always preface, like, okay, so you guys don't see this,
you were always very polite about it, you always made it very clear that I did not have to do this,
right?
That that's it was why I wanted just to- if I wanted to.
Because yes. in this situation, we're on a podcast where, like, I already have your consent to ask you a bunch of questions,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But, like, in our just offline friendship in general, okay. whenever I'm, like, I'm not, like, hey, right now, stop what you're doing. Stop parenting your children. And, like, right now, answer me these questions. Look up 45 asteroids for me, right? Like, I don't do that, right? I'm always like, hey, this can obviously wait, or you can just say no. But yeah. I was thinking about this, if you have the energy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And also, it's reciprocal because
yeah,
you sometimes be like, hey, if you have the energy, can you do an energy healing for me? Can mm-hmm. you talk to this dead person for me? Can you feel into the energy of this for me? Yeah. You know,
the perks of your friend also being woo-woo, and you can just trade your different woo-woo capabilities.
This is another reason that I think that it's good to be, like, if you're interested in any of these, like, topics and you want to learn any of this, it's, like, really good to be in a development circle for whatever yeah. your thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, everybody that's in the development for that has an interest in some level of, they're somewhere on the journey for that thing.
Yeah.
But also, they're all going to have, like, their extra things, right? So, like, yeah. you know, animal communication or, like, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do really often go like, right, so this can wait. But when you have a chance to tell my dog off for me, can you A, tell her to absolutely stop doing this, and B, find out why she's doing this weird thing?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, uh-huh. And then she always plays dumb.
Oh, she's, yeah.
She's like, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. She ate one of my flatmates' welding masks today. It was so confusing, right? So here's like an off, like a tangent thing. Uh-huh. But so I woke up today and I went out and I was like, oh, there's bits of plastic and torn about bits of, I don't know what the fuck this is, all over the sitting room.
Sounds fun.
Right? And that almost always means that it's something of like one of my flatmates in particular, because one of us is not as good about locking up their shit. Right?
Yeah.
Two of us are really good at puppy proofing things. And one of us is not very good at that at all. So, but I couldn't tell what this was, right? So, like, I found it, and I found, like, kind of big chunks of it, but I'm like, this, I've never seen this before. I don't know what this is. I thought, at first, I thought maybe it was, like, a headphones thing, but it did, but when I got closer, it definitely wasn't that, and I just couldn't figure it out. So I took a picture, and I put it in the flats, like, group chat or whatever, and they looked at it, and they're like, I don't know what that is. And then right before we started recording, like, I went to go to the bathroom before we started recording. And the flatmate, who is generally the one that's getting their stuff chewed up, was like, yeah, I figured out what that was. That was mine. It was my welding mask. And I was like, not anymore. It's not. Because it's just, it's in bits. I threw it away. So.
Cool.
Anyway, yeah.
Fun. I mean.
Yeah.
I would tell her not to do that, but also, on the other hand, don't leave shit lying around.
Well, it's a little bit of column A and it's a little bit of column B. Like, she knows she's not supposed to eat stuff that's not hers. She's got 1,000 toys.
Yeah.
And she knows, and she always goes, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to destroy that. Yes,
she
you did.
Does. She
you
does.
Really, really know that you weren't supposed to destroy that. My favorite thing to do, though, when she's, like, playing dumb and she's like, oh, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to eat the spatula. Right, because she always plays dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right, one of the things that I started doing when you would talk to her and she would be like, "Oh, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that." I started going like, "Well, it's really interesting because I really like thought that you were a really smart dog, and I'm not sure, like, it just doesn't like match up with my view of you in my head because I know that you're really intelligent. And I know that you like." Listen and like understand what I'm telling you, and so I'm not really sure why you didn't understand this. And then that drives her crazy because it's really important to her that I know that she is smart and that I think she's smart. And then she'll be like, well, I did know that, and I'm like, I knew it because you're not actually good at playing dumb. Oh, so, anyway,
it's anyhow, funny.
She's sassy, so she's lots of things. She's also sweet.
Yeah, she is. Oh, well. Okay.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
That does. I have a third one that I do obviously want the answer for me, but I also want you to answer it for not me type people.
Okay.
Because I think that this will have a really interesting answer for that is like vastly different for like person A, then person B, then person C. Right?
Okay.
And that is based on the fact, so every year I have like, this is what my focus is going to be this year, right? Mm-hmm. So this last year was the year of rest, and this year is about luxury, right? So how do you look at your chart? And because luxury means a different thing to everybody, right? So luxury doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be like whatever. It's just like how you can shift your focus to that. So, like, I have some, like, there's going to be obvious things for me that are basic, like, you know, I have Venus who is exalted in Taurus, and so there's going to be all, like, the, you know, pretty things that taste good, like, things, like, you know, I know that, but there must also be more, and I want to know how they would be for people that are, like, some people are really not, like, visual or, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, those are the placements I would look at. So I would specifically look at where is Taurus in your chart and where is Venus in your chart and what are they doing?
Right.
So Actually, I'm going to pull up your chart just so I can. So, yes, your case is interesting because you have Venus in Taurus and Venus rules Taurus. Venus is right at home in Taurus. She feels very comfortable here. She loves it here.
She's also my chart ruler because...
She is also your chart ruler, so she's the most important planet in your chart, and she's right at home being, like, just hanging out, being really cozy in Taurus.
Yeah.
And doing all the things she does in, like, the best way possible because she is right at home, right?
Yeah.
So it's in your eighth house, so you are very comfortable with taboo things, right?
Yeah.
Is what that tells me. So, but if you were to ask me, okay, I want to add luxury to my life, how do I do that? What do I need to feel luxurious? Well, Taurus is a very sensual sign. Taurus loves all the senses. So, whenever you think of luxury, think of the things that smell good, feel good, taste good, look good, or visually pleasing.
Yeah.
And sound good. So your senses will tell you what is luxurious for you, right?
Okay.
Venus is also all about art. She's very artsy. So that is part of, you know, luxury for you is surrounding yourself with art, with artsy things.
Yeah.
Possibly also with the ability to create art.
Sure.
Yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then with both of those being in the eighth house, it's also things that are more out of the ordinary, more that some people would consider a taboo. So it is kinky art. It is art about death. It is being comfortable with dark themes, with themes of death and... you know, trauma, all of these things. Trauma, especially because you also have like fucking Chiron in your eighth house too. So,
yeah,
you know, being comfortable with these more heavy, more taboo type of themes.
Well, okay. So one thing just really quick that is really funny. So my room is set up in a way that's like very personalized and very comfortable for me, but also I have a bunch of framed art in my room and they're all by an artist that I love and have met. She's a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're like, it's all like erotic art. So the artist is Spunk Rock.
She's great.
Used to be on Instagram. I'm sure she still is. I just am no longer on Instagram.
Yeah.
She's got a Patreon. Definitely go support her. She is a lovely person. Her art is amazing. I've purchased a ton of art from her over the years. But it's funny because if somebody like walks into my room, they're probably going to be scandalized because it's really, so I have that everywhere. And then I also have like historical snapshots of lesbians, like historical lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like the two main art focuses in my room. But I also make sure that it always smells nice and I always have flowers.
And also just looking at the color of your wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even just the artwork, but also the color. You lean more towards...
It's a deep teal.
Darker colors that not a lot of people would have on their walls. Like regular Joe is, you know, going to think that's way too dark. That's way too intense.
Also, like, it's not like a full color drench because I still have like, you know, the white door and the white trim or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I did paint my ceiling.
Yeah.
So, which is actually like a really luxe feeling as well to me.
But. I mean, I've been in that room. I like the energy of that room. I also feel very comfortable. And if I say sensual, it sounds weird. I don't mean it in that way. But like, it feels sensually pleasing to me to be in that room. So, but I also know, like, one of the first things I thought the first time I stepped into that room was also, oh my God, I know so many people who would absolutely hate this room and who would like immediately like back out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this. So it is very specific. It is very you.
Yeah. I have Spunk Rock like right. I have like 3 Spunk Rock things here and like another one here. That would be wildly offensive to the wrong person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so that's just kind of funny. The other thing is, I didn't really realize this until like I had been away. I was on holiday somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I had like not been in my space for like a week or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home. I might have been coming back from yours, actually. I remember I definitely had this conversation with you, but I can't remember if I was coming back from Germany or what. But but I was like, I did not realize how much hypnosis energy is just all over the space.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, which is obviously something I've cultivated and done on purpose, right? Yeah. Like, you don't accidentally. But, like, when you walk in here, if you're in an energy aware person, it's just like, oh, I'm in hypnosis fucking temple now, I guess.
Hypnos, for those of you less versed in Greek mythology, Hypnos is the Greek god of sleep.
He's my jam. I love him.
He has great energy. And you're right. Like I could feel that when I stepped into your room. It's all about being cozy and feeling safe too.
Yeah.
It feels very safe. But again, probably would not feel safe.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I was like, I'm asking because I want to know for me, but I also want to know how it is for somebody who's not me.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. So Taurus is part of my 4th and most of my 5th house.
Okay.
So for me, luxury is about anything to do with home.
That makes sense.
And also children.
Oh,
That's
so not me.
That is so accurate. It is hilarious because often, when I buy nice things, I buy them for my children because that feels like luxury to me, or for my pets even. I buy nice things for my cats and it will be like, oh, this feels really nice. That this makes me feel luxurious and cozy to be able to do that.
That's funny. So when I was like, we should look at Michael's because he's so different. That was because I was like, well, we're really good friends. So yours can't be that different than mine. But that is.
It is.
Children are nowhere near my luxury feeling.
Yeah. But then also my Venus is down here in my second house of resources.
Okay.
And I definitely spend money. Like, luxury does equal spending money to me. Like, right. I do get that you don't have to. And a lot of people can do luxurious things without spending a single penny. I don't know how to do that. Like, even something like...
I haven't spent any money yet.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, how do you do luxury without spending cash? Like, I even things like, you know, taking care of myself, taking a nice bubble bath.
Yeah.
You would think, that you can do that for free or sort of free. Like, you have running water in your house, you have a bathtub, you can do that.
That's one of the things that
But a regular bath is not luxury. A bath turns luxurious if I spend a shit ton of money on super fancy bath bombs.
Right. Okay. So here's what I've been doing because that is part of my, so let me tell you the things that I have done that have cost no money. And then you can tell me how you would.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Me. Okay. So my bath thing, also we'll start there because that's where you started it. Right? So I have, they're technically shower gels, but I make bubble bath out of them, right? So I have one that smells of roses and it's like connected to Hecate for me, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have one that's connected that smells of lavender, which is connected to Hypnos for me,
of course. Right? Mm-hmm.
So I put them in there and have the bubble bath. And then you will be totally unsurprised to know that I have a bunch of rocks that I put in there.
Uh-huh, of course.
Right? Yep. Are in the water. And so then, like, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like, one is, like, a lava rock. And so it's, like, to do transformative things. One is, like, a big piece of white quartz. And it is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Like, you know, and also they're rocks that they're, like, big rocks that I carted home from wherever I carted them home.
Yeah,
from.
Yeah. Like,
out in the world in Scotland.
Right? I mean, the first time I entered your bathroom, that was one of the first things I noticed, that you literally had rocks that were bigger than my head in your bathtub.
Yeah. So I've got rocks in there. And then sometimes, like, I will put, like, tea bags in there and, like, different things. And then I'm like, this is what your job is for here. And then I never take a bath with the lights on, ever. Mm-hmm. Because that is terrible. Right.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's candles and sometimes there's not, but the lights are never on and, like, blah, blah, blah. So that's to start. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, but also I'm disabled and sometimes I don't have the energy to, like, take a bath and, like, recover from the bath or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if it's, like, a non-bath morning or whatever, then, before I make my coffee, I will, so maybe telling too many people about my hygiene stuff, but I also don't care. But so, like, I have, like, you know, wash rags that, sure. that, you know, so I'll, like, get that wet and, like, exfoliate with, right? And then after that, then I have, like, a rose water and glycerin that's also, like, doing its, you know, glamour magic stuff. And I spray that all over me. And then after that, I put my moisturizer on, and then after that, I put my oil on that I have, like, a DIY one that's, like, connected to a bunch of, like, magic stuff. Or if I don't have that, then the last time I was in Egypt, I got sandalwood oil, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I've been doing the last couple of days, sandalwood oil, and that has a very particular smell that I really like. Mm-hmm. So I do that, and then I do, like, a dusting powder situation. Mm-hmm. And then I put on completely new clothes, and then I am immediately very comfortable because I am now, like, these are things that I already had. These are not, like, I didn't go, like, I'm going to go buy new this or new that or whatever. They're stuff that I either made or already had because they're just regular hygiene products that I was mm-hmm. already using. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I have, like, candles and wax melt. Okay. So I did spend, like, £1.50. mm-hmm. To replace my wax melt situation.
Okay, so,
and I'm doing this every day and then drinking my coffee and, like, writing my morning pages.
Here's what's funny about that.
Okay.
A while back,
yeah,
years and years back, where I wasn't as when I wasn't as self-aware
okay.
as I am now,
yeah,
I had gotten into my head that, hey, I like using, you know, bath bombs and different sort of, like, bath salts and these types of things.
Okay.
You can make those yourself.
Okay.
And it is way cheaper than buying them. Because, sure.
If you actually do it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. See where this is going.
I think I did make bath bombs twice.
Sure. Okay.
Didn't feel right.
Yeah.
It was okay. Like, it's cheap. It's not luxurious. A, because it's a lot of work actually making them yourself. So it's like, that's fucking labor that I do not want to invest.
Sure.
and also, like, it doesn't feel the same. Like, it feels luxurious to be able to either go into an actual store or go online and buy a bunch of these really nice, ready-made, expensive
okay.
fucking bath bombs and yeah. bubble baths. And then it feels luxurious. And also, so we all have routines, right? I have a very, uh-huh. I'm also autistic. I have a very particular bath routine, right? So the things that I do every single time
yeah.
in the exact same way, because sure. if I do not do them in the exact same way, I will forget about body parts
because, right? okay.
because I'm autistic and I have ADHD. So, right. And then there's other things that I don't do every single time that I do that whenever, you know, yeah. I want to feel more luxurious. There are always things that, you know, I have to specifically buy, like a face mask that I buy, like a very specific hair mask that I don't put in every single time, that I only put in sometimes, that I have to go buy. Then like, I make an effort to buy like new scrubby things. Like I have these like scrubby exfoliating gloves and stuff that I use, right? And whenever I have a new one, that adds luxury. You know, whenever I pick out, I never really use the same shower gel, for example. Like I have some products that are always the same. My hair products are usually the same, or like the same out of like two or three, right? But like a shower gel, I want variety in that. And whenever I have a new one, that immediately means the next time I take a bath or a shower is going to be more luxurious because it's a new shower gel. So, and also just shopping itself is luxury for me. Like just being able to go, like I feel sad. This makes it sound like I have, like I have an issue with shopping. And to be quite honest, I might.
You kind of do. I don't think it's like a huge.
No. Like we're not like in debt or anything because of it. But like could I spend less money? I could definitely spend less money on bullshit. Because I do the thing where I go like, oh, I feel kind of sad. I want to feel better. So I go online and I shop and it makes me feel better.
And like, oh, for me, it does not. Like, so, I mean,
That's weird.
It might while I'm like going, oh, I have like, I'll get the dopamine that everybody gets when we are like, oh, well, you know, I found this thing and I bought the thing. Right. Mm-hmm. But the second that that's over, then it counteracts it so much that it like cancels out the first dopamine, right? Because I'm like, oh, well, what I bought was myself less closer to my goals, to like my financial goals or my like money goals or whatever. So like the way that I buy security and like good feeling is by like not buying that shit.
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. Oh. It's like I have luxury and security and safety because I am able to do that. I am able to buy that stuff. I am able to buy I mean, obviously not every single thing, but I am able to like go online and buy another book.
Sure.
I can do that without going into debt. I don't really have to think about whether or not I can afford that, which I am aware is a huge fucking privilege. Sure. I grew up fucking poor. I grew up literally starving.
But I think the interesting thing is like, that's what you're saying is like, because of this Venus placement in your second house, because like, I mean, I could do that a lot of the times too, but it doesn't feel that way. Like it doesn't give me the same feeling because I'm like, but actually I would rather not have thing.
Yeah. Because you do not have Venus in your second house. Also, you do not have Venus in Aquarius, which just adds another layer on top of that, right? It's the like rebellious kind of energy where it's like, well, I just want to, and that's why I'm buying the stuff. I don't care that it's irresponsible. I don't care what other people think.
Right.
Right? And it gives me an immense amount of pleasure that I am able to do that, that I can go just, I don't care what you think. I don't care that I already have 200 books. I do not have that one. So, and I want it. So I'm going to buy it.
Oh, so here's, this may or may not be connected to this. I'd be curious about. So we also feel very differently about stuff in general.
Oh yeah.
Where like, so I don't like to have stuff, right? Uh-huh. I would love to, which is kind of funny because it doesn't look that way. Like when you walk into my space, it doesn't look like that's necessarily the case because the stuff that I want is like, I want stuff on my walls and I want like decorative stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning like knickknacks and stuff on, you know, like the window sill or whatever. So visually you walk into my space and you're like, you've got a bunch of stuff. Because in those ways, I am like a maximalist. But like, if I could get it to where you opened any drawer in my house and there was nothing in it, perfect. That's my favorite. Right. And I like get rid of bookshelves because I don't want to I've got books and I read a lot of books, but I prefer to have them digitally so that I don't have stuff.
Sure.
Or like the ones that I like have physical copies of are very few and far between. And after a couple of years, I'll probably get rid of it because I'm like, I don't want this stuff clogging up my things. But you're like the opposite of that, where you're like, you know, so is that this?
Yeah, well, no, but it's the Taurus part. So
okay,
I have most of my fourth house in Taurus.
Okay.
Which is the hoarder. Like, give me all the things, put it in my home. That's okay. What makes me feel cozy and safe.
Okay.
To have lots of stuff. Your right. Fourth house is in Capricorn.
Okay.
And Capricorn is organized and strict, and things need to have a purpose. And if they don't have a purpose, they need to go.
Get out of here. Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's funny.
So, yeah. My home is cluttered and I like it that way. And I like having too many bookshelves in every single corner. And I like having all sorts of fucking knickknacks that are just there because they look cute.
I have that. I like that.
And like also like collecting hobbies and having things that like I still have that. My fucking sewing machine and like boxes and boxes full of fabric. I have not used that sewing machine in 4 years, probably, at least. So,
Well, I used to live that way. Yeah. Right? Like, I used to... So I'm also, like, historic. So, I am an artist. And so, I've had, like, lots of different, like, ideas of I'm going to make this or I'm going to do that or, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then got... Because I'm an artist and I have ADHD. So, and then get the stuff for it and then, like, make it once or... Not even, right? Mm-hmm. But, so I have gone through periods in my life where I had a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that I like more than getting rid of that stuff. Right?
There's nothing I hate more than having to get rid of stuff.
Yeah, I love it. So because, like, the feeling of going, like, I'm not going to make that. And I'm never going to make that. And I don't have to make that. Right. And getting rid of the stuff of giving myself permission to like not do that. I'm like, oh, I feel better now. Like that's just like that feels energetically like good to me to have like made that decision and gotten rid of it. And yeah.
I mean, I get that to a certain degree because whenever I do declutter and I throw stuff out, afterwards I also feel lighter and better. And it's actually not that bad to get rid of some stuff. But then my immediate next thought will be not, it's so nice that I have more space. It will be, I can buy more stuff now.
So this is old stuff
out, new stuff in.
No. So I will also say that this is really, for me, connected to moving country because before the first time, so I've moved country twice. Mm-hmm. Or four times, depending on how you think about it. But so I moved from America to China, back to America, and then here. So three times, I guess, to Scotland. So before I moved to China, I had a bunch of stuff and I liked having that stuff. And when I moved to China, I knew that we were going to be there for a long time, but not forever. And so put all the stuff in storage. And then when I came back, I was like, I don't really remember all of this stuff. Why did I pay to have it in storage? Mm. And that's when I started loving getting rid of stuff. Right?
Yeah. Mm. I get that.
And so I went through several phases of getting rid of that stuff. And then when I moved to Scotland, when you're moving country, it's like pretty hard to take like a bunch of stuff. So I think I moved here with like, it ended up being like four suitcases because I did it in like two trips.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think it was like two suitcases and two carry-ons or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But two times, so four and four. Anyway, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is even better because now everything that I own is like just stuff that fits in here.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't take that long to collect more stuff.
Sure.
And so now it's just kind of like an ongoing thing. But would that have happened if I hadn't moved country, started moving country? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was definitely the catalyst for that. So.
Yeah, I get that. And I've never done that. I've moved, but I've never moved country. So.
Yeah. It's totally different. I moved a bunch.
I can imagine.
Country and it wasn't like that, but moving country is totally
different. Yeah. So. Yeah, I can imagine. I get that. But so if we want to dig into reasons, and this is also a great example to show like, okay, so how do like aspects come into this, right? Because we've looked at, just to, you know, get back to the actual question you
asked. Yeah, we've definitely like veered far.
So we've looked at where is Taurus in a chart. That is one part. We've looked at where is Venus. That is like the other part. And then we look at, okay, what kind of aspects do they have too? What is going on there? And like a funny thing is my Venus is square, my Vesta in my fourth house.
Okay.
So the fourth house is the home and hearth, and Vesta also represents the hearth and home, right? Mm-hmm. And like comfort and coziness and safety, and also where we make sacrifices to achieve those, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But also the fourth house is your childhood and your childhood home and the way you grew up. And the way I grew up was
about it.
Lacking. Like we never had, I mean, for long stretches of my life, probably we technically had enough money to be able to afford some extras. But all of my parents never really wanted to do that or let me do that. Yeah. So silly examples are whenever we would be on like a trip somewhere, like a road trip, or like we would be on the train was important. Like I remember the first time I was on a train that had an onboard restaurant. And it blew my mind. And I thought this was the coolest thing ever that you could be on a train and eat like food, like cooked meals in a restaurant. And I was so excited about it. And I asked my dad and my stepmother, like, can we please? I want to go to the restaurant and eat there. And my stepmother was like, no, that is way too expensive. We can't afford that. And she had. Okay. And she gave me these stupid fucking sandwiches that she had made at home that were just the boring, same old fucking sandwiches that I always had to eat. And that were just like, and I was so disappointed. And then, and so now I do shit like that to treat myself. Like I do eat at the onboard restaurant when I'm like, when I'm on the plane, like I enjoy, like the first time I flew to yours and they had like, and the funniest thing of all of these is the first time I was on a plane, I was flying to Scotland to visit you.
Yeah.
And they gave out snacks on the plane.
Yeah.
Please guess what the snack was that I was ridiculously excited about.
Oh, I don't know.
It was a sandwich. They gave out plain, like it was a Dutch airline. They gave out Dutch bread like with Dutch cheese on it and nothing else. It was just a plain fucking, not even toasted cheese sandwich. And I was so excited about it. And it felt so luxurious. I am sitting on a plane and I am getting this single sandwich that is wrapped in plastic, which is really stupid and not environmentally friendly, but like, you know, it is individually wrapped. It is mine. It is just for me.
You're into it.
It is so luxurious. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah. And also like, yeah, stupid things like that, that I just wasn't allowed to do because we couldn't afford it. Like, okay, I'm at the fucking train station and I'm hungry. I'm choosing not to wait until I get home. I'm buying something like an expensive piece of fucking pizza at the train station because I can, and fuck you.
That's fair.
Like, and that's the like the square with Vesta, right? Like, okay. I couldn't do that when I was a kid. And also, to be fair, I did have stretches in my growing up where I was literally starving.
Yeah.
Not in a funny cutesy. I was so hungry. I was starving. I was a skeleton.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I had no food. So yeah, so I have that. And now I have the resources. That's the second house coming in, right? I have the resources. I am able to do these things. I can treat myself to these. They feel hyper luxurious to me now, where other people would go like, that's stupid. And it's like throwing money out of the window. And why do you need to do that? I don't need to do that, but I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, sure.
I mean,
I want to. Right. And then also like Venus has a trine to the moon in my sixth house, which is definitely connected to emotions. Like I said, like I feel sad. So I spend money. It makes me feel better.
Sure.
The sextile to Jupiter. Yes. All of that gets
expanded
and is even bigger and intensified. That is very obvious from the entire rant I just had.
Sure.
I guess. So yeah. So we look at those, right? To again come back from the tangent and get back to
tangent.
The actual question. Yes. Yeah, that's the main things I will look at. And then obviously we can always expand that with pulling in the asteroids, because there's obscure asteroids that are called money and gold and, you know, all of these things. And we can put those in the chart and see where those are too.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
I do kind of want to look at Michael's, because he's like happy with like bare white walls and really ugly stuff. And he eats gross things. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I have no idea how he
would. Do you think we have consent to show his chart on the podcast, or do you want me to just talk about it off?
Well, why don't you talk about it off, just because I don't want to go ask him.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is Taurus is okay. So Taurus is in his 11th house.
Okay.
And immediately I'm noticing that you also can't see, right?
No, I can't see.
Okay. So I'm gonna make extra sure that I describe this in a way that people who are only listening.
I have a guess.
So Chiron is also there, is the first thing I'm seeing, right?
Okay.
So comfort and luxury always has to be healing some kind of trauma or issue.
Okay.
So if I were to advise him on how, you know, to treat himself and how to put more luxury into his life, that's what I would advise. Okay, look at the trauma that you have in your life. Look at where the pain is, the hurt is, but also where the healing is and where you need to do more healing.
Yeah.
And then take care of that. And that is where luxury is. It doesn't have to be at all related to any financial matters or on spending money at all. Have to be about spending anything or about buying anything or about any outside means.
Yeah.
Right. Which tracks when you say that he doesn't care about stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
Because like, luxury for him is more about, you know, healing trauma, healing pain, healing that hurt.
Yeah.
Also funny though, is that his Venus, which, you know, is the next thing we look at. Mm-hmm. Venus is in his 12th house. So it is hidden.
Right.
From other people, possibly even from himself.
Okay.
And it is in Gemini. And Gemini pulls in thinking and study, learning, communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he is not at all materialistic when it comes to what he considers luxury.
Yeah.
It is not about the stuff he owns, the stuff he can buy, the stuff he can get for himself. It is all about the way he's thinking, the things he learns.
Yeah.
about himself, but also probably the world and the way he heals his own.
Okay. So to bring this back full circle, so this is why he's not keeping his stuff away from the dog.
Yeah, because he doesn't care.
Because he doesn't care about it.
Yeah, no, stuff is not. I mean, not makes that stuff doesn't.
Annoying flatmate.
Yeah,
I mean, just throwing that out there.
I mean, stuff probably matters in other kinds of ways, but just looking at, you know, luxury, treating yourself, mm-hmm. that's where stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
yeah. I was just curious because he's got such like a foreign thing to me about it.
Yeah,
like it's going to be massively different.
It is very different.
So, yeah.
And okay. Also probably harder for him to achieve because it's like 11th house and it's 12th house. So it's very dependent on other people with the 11th house. It's like other surrounding himself with people and also depending on other people to take care of pain and trauma and healing for him. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the luxury. That's where the luxury is, making other people
right. Okay.
deal with my shit. And, and the 12th house is like even more hidden. That's where Venus is, right? It's even further away. It's hidden so well that he might not even be aware himself, like what luxury even is and how do I treat myself? That is something that, you know, needs to be discovered.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, all of that is very different than how it's very foreign to me. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Just okay. Digging into the charts of my flatmates. Okay. So.
Well, if it helps, understanding them and understanding yourself and understanding other people, I think is a good thing.
I just think it's good to have examples of people that are massively different than you. Right. Because then it's just helpful for like learning how it looks in different ways.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So look at where Taurus is in your chart. Look at where Venus is. And then treat yourself in however they tell you to treat yourself.
Cool.
Buy the book. The book. Or that don't. You really want. Always buy. No, always buy the book.
Actually, just finish the fucking book.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's. I mean, we're cooking with gas now that we figured out that the audiobook is how to get you to actually fucking do it. And now that I have been like, where are you now? You have had much better answers since.
Yeah, I've gotten way farther than ever before when it was just reading, because.
There we go. Yeah,
I only have that one audiobook now that I'm listening to every single night to fall asleep to.
Sounds handy. Was it annoying that I was like, oh, now I can think of other fan fictions to get you to do next?
No, honestly, I'm like, this is actually quite handy.
Okay.
Because I am done with the really incredibly long series of audiobooks that I had listened before to fall asleep to. And I was kind of struggling to figure out, okay, what do I fall asleep to now?
I can keep you going for a really long time.
I will just fall asleep to these then. It's fine.
So I have several ideas for like normal length ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have one that's insanely long. It's really
I'll
good.
Take it. Okay.
It's really long. So anyways, we can talk about this.
I do fall asleep every single night at some point. So I don't mind how long that is because
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll discuss further offline.
Sure. Okay. We hope you enjoyed this one that had lots of tangents, I feel like, but
it was tangent heavy today. Yeah.
It is what it is. Yeah, do all the things. Like and subscribe and comment and tell your friends.
Yes, please suggest to your friends that they also watch and subscribe and like, mm-hmm. comment, rate and review.
Yes. All
the things we would appreciate.
Yes. Okay, we will hear and see you next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.